This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Not every story assignment turns out to be a life-affirming exercise. Milwaukee writer Dan Simmons has written about a lot in his time here, from a doctor who treats bonobos to changes in the housing market. But Simmons' most recent assignment for Milwaukee Magazine turned out to form a connection for which he says he will always be grateful.
The piece profiles an employee at a local Walmart. That may not sound like the makings of a promising feature, but it's the employee he's following that makes this story unique. Joe Reed is working the register and with no arms or legs, effortlessly completes all of his tasks to help a customer with greater ease than most able-bodied people. Reed lost his limbs as a toddler and grew up in Chicago under its foster care system and an abusive foster mother. But we learned that he's never let anything stop him.
Joe Reed and writer Dan Simmons visited Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio to share Reed's story and what they learned from each other.
Thanks for being here today, guys.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, really happy to be here. Thanks, Audrey.
So, Joe, you are featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. But before we get to you, Dan, why don't you tell us what led you to Joe and his story?
The story was assigned to me by the magazine, and it came to them from a local radio host named Jermaine Reed, no relation to Joe, who got to know Joe sort of randomly. He encountered him working in Walmart and thought his story had to be very interesting just based on Joe's disabilities. And then he got to know him, you know, the story behind that, which is infinitely even more interesting. And so then it came to me and I just took it from there.
And Joe, our radio listeners cannot see anyone in here, but in case they're not familiar with the magazine article, can you describe yourself and tell us a little bit about your story?
Yes, ma'am. I'm 34 years old. I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, born and raised. I'm a double amputee. I lost my hands and my legs at the age of 2 years old due to meningitis.
Having lost your limbs at two, this is something you've been living with all your life and have adapted to. And I imagine you're used to your appearance getting people's attention, but what was your reaction to being the subject of a magazine feature and to spend time with Dan?
It was a real, I'd say, probably one of the happiest moments in my life. Because a lot of people get recognized, but a lot of people, like, from my culture, or what can I put this? A lot of people that's grown up in the hood don't really have, that disabled, don't really have a chance to get recognized for their talent that they have, especially when you have a disability.
Right. Dan was telling me that he was kind of blown away just by, you know, how you can do more than one job more than effectively and function better than many, quote, able-bodied people. So what do you think is your biggest strength that has come from your hardship? And I guess before we even get into that, do you want to tell us a little bit about your childhood and growing up?
Yes, I grew up in two foster homes. My first foster home I grew up in, I was with my foster parent, Ms. Trice, to the age of 7 years old. Then after that, I got with Ms. Reed. After that, and I grew up with her. I got adopted in 1998. And that been my middle and my last name changed. My name used to be Joseph Leonard White, W-H-I-T-E. Then it got changed to Joseph Leandre Reed in 98 due to my adoption. I had a rough childhood and everything. My childhood, Ms. Reed, I used to get beat on a lot. So that was the roughest part of my life because I'm looking at me, even though I'm disabled, I'm going through this, and I can imagine how anyone who feel can go through this as well. And it was something I'm not used to because I got whoopings from my first foster parent, but that's different from whoopings and beating. Like, it was torture growing up in Chicago foster system.
What do you think your biggest strength came from that? Because the article mentions there were times when, you know, you had little hope. You thought of various alternatives. I understand your adopted mother had you push her around in a wheelchair, do
that
all the cooking,
correct,
all the cleaning. So do you look back on it differently? today?
Actually, I do. I think about it every day because it's part of me. It's part of what molded me, and it's part of what made me who I am today. Like, we got people in life say, oh, well, don't worry about what happened because she only act this way because that was probably what her mother did to her. Then you got a lot of people growing up, and they do the same thing to their kids, or they do the same thing to other foster kids or this kid's period. And people don't realize that if you continue the cycle, it will keep on doing. But that because it's happened to you does not mean you can't change the obstacle of your directions. You don't have to walk down a straight line. You can make that line narrow and become in different and go in a different direction.
There's a lot of positivity and optimism from you and pure energy. And Dan, what was your first impression of Joe when you first started hanging out with him and learning more about him?
Honestly, kind of amazement. One of the first things that stood out to me was when Joe's kids brought him kind of a plastic tub of gum. And so, you know, there was the plastic tub that Joe opened without really thinking about it. And then there were containers of gum inside that plastic tub. So Joe, you know, picked out one of the containers, unwrapped that, picked out, you know, a slice of gum from that. And these are, you know, very small, almost kind of chiclet sized pieces of gum. Joe unwrapped that wrapper, you know, popped it in his mouth and then asked me if I'd like one of these. And I just thought, what did I just see? this guy has no hands, and his arms stop at stumps just past the elbow. And I just was sort of, I had to pinch myself to make sure I wasn't imagining or dreaming this scene, because it's just so, not only is it remarkable that a person with these challenges can do this, what is also remarkable is just how routine it seems to Joe and how unimpressed he is by this. Because obviously this is how he's always lived. But as an outsider coming to this, I was just kind of awestruck, honestly. And one thing I didn't want to happen in writing the story is for that sense of wonder and amazement to go away. I didn't want it to become normalized, as it quickly does when you're with Joe, because he does make the extraordinary look and seem sort of routine. So I wanted to keep that first impression of just, did I really see what I think I just saw?
So Joe, Dan mentions, you know, he's blown away, and yet you are the least impressed by what you're right. able to do. But, you know, looking back on it, what do you think are your biggest strengths?
My family. That's always been my biggest strength. I made a promise to myself about the way how I was treated. Everything that if God blessed me with family, I make sure I be there for all my kids, no matter what I had to do.
Dan also writes in the story how you have a great sense of humor and an unshakable optimism. And many people in your position, able-bodied or not, having a rough childhood, might have a different outlook of the world. Do you find yourself having to put that in check all the time, or did you decide one day to always see the best in things?
When I was young, it was hard to see the best in things because I was still younger. So as they say, with age grow more maturity as well. But when I was younger, I didn't really see the best in things. I tried to keep a good head, and I did pray a lot, even though praying to me when I was younger, it didn't look like it was really helping because of the situation I was in and everything. So my faith was going downhill a lot.
You mentioned having difficulties looking at the bright side of things in childhood.
That is correct.
And you had a lot of anger built up from that. But yeah. What is it that fuels you now?
What fuels me now is my family, my kids. I want my kids to know that because, they have a disabled father. That because you got a disabled father does not mean that ain't nothing possible. When you think about anything, I want my kids to grow up when they have anything difficulty to think about. If my father can do it with no hands and legs, then there's nothing I can't do.
I imagine your kids also teach good lessons to their classmates and their friends.
Yeah. Somewhat. Kids gonna be kids.
That's true.
I think that friends be more amazed than they are because they used to me. And that's when I go to the school. So, like my oldest daughter, her nickname is Angel. Angel, that's your dad? Ooh, I know your dad. He works at Walmart.
And you are, you know, a community figure. But one thing highlighted in the story here is how you kind of, you built your own community. You used to not have anyone in your corner, is what the story says.
But that is correct.
Now you have your family, your children, and you also have a relationship with your biological father now. So how has that shaped the way your relationship with your kids now? Or how has it shaped your life differently?
I believe it helped me out more because growing up, even though I know I have my biological parents, I didn't know my father. Only thing I knew was his name. But I never had a chance to meet him until 2008 when I met him. It was around November. First time I spoke to him was on the phone. My wife said, Joseph, do you want to find your father? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay then, what taking you so long? Bring your ass over. Excuse my language. She's like, bring your butt over here and do it. Come on. So I went on the search, and I found one Joseph Gohagan. He like, I'm sorry, but I don't have no kids. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I see another person named Gohagan. This was Latrice Gohagan. And come to find out, it was my cousin's wife at the time. So she put me in contact with everybody. So from that moment, I spoke to my father. He was at the rink. It was on the Thursday because my father always liked to skate on Thursdays. And he was at the rink, so they let him know, and they thought that his family was playing with him. Like, yeah, right. Joey not on the phone. And so he decided to went on call. So we talked, like, when he first spoke, I was so nervous. Like, I guess, like, butterflies was in my stomach, I could say, because I was so nervous because you don't know what to expect. Like, I know people who grew up in similar situations. They find out who their father is, and then that father don't want to be bothered with them. Like, well, you grown now, so go on your way. Have a nice life. But he took to me. He told me he was looking for me and everything, searching for me. He even got married a couple of times trying to get me, fight for me back. Because back then, fathers didn't have rights like they do now.
Right. And it seems like you guys, in a way, picked up right where, you know, hypothetically, you could have left off.
Yep.
That it's been a good, positive relationship.
Yeah, you know what they say, it's better late than never.
That's true. You note in the story, Dan, that Joe would love to start his own business that you can better accommodate your kids' schedule. You know, not so that you don't have to get transportation to get to work or anything right. Like that. You yourself have two jobs right now as well.
That is correct.
So what kind of business would you want to run?
I look at people like one big business right now is music. My daughter, she loved to sing. Like, she might not remember a lot of stuff, but she can quote a song and sing it to the T. A lot of people have talent, but they don't have a chance to get recognized for that talent. If I could help different ones to reach that potential up in them, that would be my biggest accomplishment, besides driving.
Dan, how has meeting Joe and writing about him impacted you?
I can't feel sorry for myself for anything ever. Meeting Joe and seeing his ability to navigate daily life with these incredible physical challenges, but then also keeping such an optimistic and fun-loving attitude despite life really mistreating him to an extent few of us have ever encountered is just inspiring. And it's readjusted my philosophy about always finding the bright side and of things.
How has meeting Dan impacted you, Joe?
It's actually affected me in a good way. Like, I never thought I would be in the magazine, for one. Two, I just got interviewed by Channel 4 News not too long ago, so that gonna be airing out on the 29th at 10 o'clock. So it's a good impact so far.
And do you hope people will take something different away? Or is there a main goal in sharing your story with Dan, with local news? Do you want to spread a different message about how people typically view others with disabilities? Or what's your main goal? What do you want to put out to the world?
My main goal is that because you got a problem going on, disability or no disability does not mean just give up. It's easy to give up. Anyone can give up anytime. But the best part about not giving up is you keep pushing and you strive for greatness. Like one thing, like a customer told me that's always shop at Walmart. He used to give like beggars money, people who panhandlers money all the time. And he said when he met me, he don't do that no more because he's like, and this young man can get up and work a job with no hands and no legs and able to give me stuff, bring me up. There's no excuse for no one. That's my main message right there. Like, anything is possible if you put your mind to it. Only disability you got is in your mind. As long as you got a good mind, anything possible.
Well, I'm sure you'll motivate a lot of our listeners when they hear this. So, Joe, thank you for coming in. It was a pleasure to meet you. And thank you, Dan, for stopping by once again.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Milwaukee writer Dan Simmons and Joe Reed joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio. The feature on Joe is in this month's Milwaukee Magazine.